Katie, let's get Burt Bertelkamp in here, the voice of the common fan on your Vol Network. Burt, good morning to you.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Burt, I'm loving this basketball season. What a special gift this is, an unexpected gift.
It's been fun. It sure has. It started out, as you might expect. Had some tough losses, but the players have really bought in. And all of them kind of on a different, little bit different schedule, but they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they've got a chance to have a special season.
I had a chance to hear you an awful lot the game before last, talking during the game and then after the game about the progress of Jordan McRae, and I don't think anybody embodies the type of progress this team has made. If you could put one poster boy up there for the progress of this basketball team, Bert, it seems like it's him. Did you see this coming from him this year?
Well, not really. I didn't know how he was going to react. What was interesting is he played offensively. He played real well early in the season. He had a couple of games where he scored well, 25 points, a couple of nights, and some 19s and 18s. And I think he thought he was in good shape, but he wasn't playing the way Konzo wants him to play. And he paid for that. He got benched, and then Konzo would give him a few minutes, and he'd do something good offensively, maybe block a shot, get a steal, but he wasn't doing the solid defense that's required. And now he's figured that out in the last three or four games. And he's playing 30 plus minutes as a result, because his offense really helps us. We need his offense. And he's been real consistent with the offense. Now he's bringing the defense, and his upside is really good if he keeps his head on and continues to do what what Konzo wants him to do.
The incomparable Burt Bertelkamp joining us today on the show. Burt, you're so right in terms of the way they got his attention. And Konzo's got an old-school streak about him, doesn't he?
Oh, he definitely does. And coaches have power, but the ultimate power is playing time. And that's how they make – at the end of the day, that's how they're going to break you if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, or maybe you just don't understand what you're supposed to do. It's a different mindset than what they were used to, and Coach Pearl did it a different way and was highly successful, and Konzo's got his way, and there's more than one way, obviously, to be successful, but these guys had to realize the defense. And I can relate, because when Coach DeVoe came, we went through the same phase. And you had to play defense. You had to play that tough man-to-man. You had to get in the passing lanes. You had to help out. You had to take charges, cut the baseline, all those things. And if you broke down, the whole team broke down, and you were going to get ripped for it. And I've seen these guys go through the same exact process.
You know, Burt, in a weird kind of way, Konzo Martin and Bruce Pearl sort of remind me of each other early in their tenure, in that both guys have systems and a way of playing the game that makes opponents not want to walk on the court with them. With Tennessee, under Pearl, obviously, it's a 94-foot game, but I'm sensing there are opponents now that are not comfortable with the way Tennessee plays defense. They don't see it night in and night out, the intensity they see from Tennessee.
Oh, I guarantee you they don't like it. You know that you're going to have to work to score. And a prime example was the Kentucky game the first time we played them in Knoxville. They came waltzing in here, and they thought they were just going to run up and down, score 95, and go back to Lexington. And they knew about 5 minutes into the game that wasn't going to be the case. They were going to have to work to score. Now, they're good enough, and they made adjustments at halftime. I'm not sure the team last year, or John Wall's team the year before, I'm not sure they would have been able to beat us. But this year's team's better because of Anthony Davis. But I remember Ole Miss used to play that way back when I was playing, and we always thought, you know, we're going to kill Ole Miss. You look on paper, our team versus theirs. But then when you tipped it off, you knew right from the start you were going to have to work hard for everything you got. There was not going to be any easy baskets. You were going to, it was going to be physical. You were going to get beat on. You were going to get challenged every step of the way. And mentally, some people can't handle that.
I know I wouldn't be able to. I mean, after a while, you kind of want to fight. And you see, you've seen some of the opponents that we play get kind of frustrated. There's a little pushing and shoving, those sorts of things. And, you know, you talked about Kentucky before. Let me ask you about them. They're about to run through the league unbeaten. And some people are going to start talking about them in terms of the history of this league. It is such a different game, though, than it was even when I first came to Tennessee back in the late 80s. There aren't many. The great upperclassmen don't stick around anymore. Can you even compare teams now than, say, pre the mid-90s when kids just started going to the NBA after a season?
I think it's hard. My personal feeling is the game, the athletes are better, the players are stronger, they're bigger, they're faster, but yep. Their skill level is lower.
Agreed.
And I think it's a, and I'm not the only one that thinks this. If you look at, compare statistics from, and even looking at what it, you know, at any schools, I'm thinking the right word, not the handbook, but their basketball book, and you look through the statistics, and you'll see that players, guards used to shoot in the high 40s, in some 50s, some low 50s, and big men shot up mid 50s, high 50s. Now the guards shoot in the high 30s, and the really, some really good ones are up around 45, 46, but they don't shoot near as well, and that's because everybody's going to the basket. Everybody's trying to dunk it and do like LeBron and Michael Jordan and those guys. And then you see a lot of players shooting threes.
Yep.
And so it's either three balls or dunks. And a lot of those fundamentals are lost. And we used to go to camps and work on skills, and now they play AAU. They play tournaments. They play games. So the practice is different, and I think that's affected the game. And it may not, some people may like it better the way it is now. It's certainly, there's more spectacular plays. There's, you know, the lob is a huge part of the game, whereas it used to not be. But if you're a purist and you like, you know, you like the fundamental side of the game, I think it may not, it's not as strong today as it used to be.
And it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. I mean, here's just a snapshot in time, but, you know, I go back to some of those LSU teams that, you know, couldn't get out of first gear when Shaq was there and Vernell Singleton and all those guys. And they just had a ton of special players, that Williamson kid, and they had some nice guard play. A team like that today in the SEC would totally dominate. A veteran team like that would be like boys against men. If you had a Shaquille O'Neal at that age out there against what we have now. But even closer to the point, if you go back to Kentucky's last national championship team and you stack them up against these guys, they would eat these guys for lunch, I believe.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I want your thoughts on that.
I agree. Someone was asking me about the SEC, and I think the SEC's a little better this year than it's been the last few years. But prior to Calipari coming, he got Kentucky with the players he's brought in. They're back to where they used to be from a talent standpoint, putting people in the NBA. But the SEC is not putting players in the NBA nearly as regularly as it used to.
Yeah.
Now, I can name back in the 80s, we had a ton of pros. Every year there was guys going into the NBA. And that just doesn't happen much anymore. And there's more NBA teams than there was back then. So I think there's a lot of teams that would win today at a high level. And I think you're right. The upperclassmen's a big factor. Not that, I mean, Bernard King played 3 years in college. Well,
yep.
He would have played one.
Yep, exactly right.
If he was playing now. So that's had a huge impact.
The game was so much better then. The athletes are better now. The game was so much better then. And this leads me to this. I think that the approach that Konzo Martin has long-term here, if he can get the right mix, I believe can be successful because I think he understands the impact of having guys in your program that aren't prima donna type players who want to work hard for you, who will give it up for the system, who can meld together. And if you can get a collection of those guys 3-4 years down the road, you can be really hard to beat in today's college basketball. We've seen it. We've seen it in the mid-majors, Bert.
Well, look at even Duke. They've had a few guys go out early, but if you think about Krzyzewski, he's not getting those kind of guys anymore. And I'm sure that's intentional because he gets whoever he wants, basically.
Right.
You look at their team this year. Now, Rivers may come out, but he's getting kids that are there in the program 2, 3, 4 years. And I think you're right about Konzo. I think you're surely going to take a top 5, top 10 guy if you can get him. But what goes along with that? It can definitely work against you, and you miss out on other kids that may be just a little bit less of a player, but they're going to be with you longer, and they're going to bring people with them that they're going to impact your team, and you got to build a system. Calipari's amazed me that he's been able to do it. I think it's a house of cards at some point. I just don't see how you keep doing that, but he's able to sell these kids on, I can get you in the NBA. Well, that's what they want to hear. And he's impressed me with how he's been able to make them play as a team. That's certainly been impressive. And this year, Teague is I didn't think he's going to be able to pull it off. But this year, Anthony Davis is such a difference maker. And Teague's kind of fallen in line. And then Kid Gilchrist, those are the top two players in the country, if you want, in my opinion. Those guys are really, really good. But that isn't going to be the way it is, and not many other schools are going to be able to do that. These one-and-dones are just – and I don't think it's good for the player either, unless you're good enough to step right in the NBA. You need the coaching. These kids aren't getting the coaching because they're playing AAU ball. They drop off 1 year at college, and then they're in the NBA. And I just don't – I don't like it. I wish they'd change the rule, make them – it either go straight to the pros or play 3 years.
Baseball, like we do in baseball.
Yeah.
And you know what it would do? And you know what it would do? It would make the NBA game better because the NBA game would then have guys who are recognizable stars in college, and you would have, like, say, the Cam Newton effect over there in Carolina. Cam Newton went into the NFL this year as a ready-made star because of what he did in college. Tim Tebow gets a lot of attention in the NFL because of what he did in college. You go back to the Bird Magic years, and even Michael Jordan, to some extent, made his bones in college, built his name up in college. Hakeem Olajuwon, same way. Patrick Ewing, the same way. And then the 90s came, and I don't know what the NBA was thinking, but they started scouting grade school games, Bert. And it's made their product. It's made their product worse while it's made college basketball worse. But let me ask you something here. One thing that keeps getting better that I like is I see a lot of progress across our entire roster when you talk about Tennessee this year. If you can, from your perspective, the level of improvement and what that says about the job that Tennessee's kids have done, and then also the coaches, that coaching staff we don't hear much about.
I think they've done a phenomenal job, and you said it earlier that Konzo's got some old school in him. He's got a lot of old school in him, and that's real appealing to a lot of people. And one of the things that – and I'm not able to go to practice, but I hear about what they do. Kent Williams, for instance, he was a great scorer in college. He's a great shooter. He's working on guys, their shot. And you might not see the impact of that right now, but I guarantee you, if you look at Josh Richardson, I'm just picking him out of the hat. Look at him next year, and then look at him the following year, and he'll be hitting threes. I guarantee you, he'll be making threes, and he'll be shooting at a decent percentage. And he's not going to be a pure shooter, but he's going to be better because they practice. And you hear about Maimon working on his outside shot. They work on, and it's not just shooting, but they work on skills. They don't just throw the ball out and play. And they do enough of that. But they work on the skills. They work on the things that make you a better player individually, and then you melt, you know, you mold them all together into the team. But if you work on individual skills, you're going to get better if you work at it. It's not complicated, and that's what they're doing. And you can look at, really, you can go across the board, and most all the players in the rotation, look at Skyler, how much better he is defensively, and he's a better shooter. And he knows his limitations. He needs to work on his ball handling. And I'll bet you next year he's handling the ball a lot better than he does this year. But I think across the board, every player's gotten better. And Stokes, I think you'll see a big difference in Stokes once he gets his feet on the ground and he's had some time. I mean, it's been a whirlwind what he's gone through. Mm-hmm. Mayman's an all-conference player. If he doesn't make – you know, the top 10, you know, he's one of the top 10, 15 players in the league, and he should make all-conference team. He's had a phenomenal year.
Bert, these guys, can they keep it going here down the stretch? Can the environment at LSU won't be easy tomorrow night, and no road game in this league is guaranteed. I love the opportunity to play Vanderbilt again. I think that's going to be a great atmosphere on Saturday. Those are the kind of games you live for. But what about this game Wednesday night? LSU's had kind of a sneaky, surprising season themselves so far.
They have. They have. They've had a good year. They've got a solid team. They're pretty athletic. They're not real deep. They've got an excellent big man, Justin Hamilton, and they've got a good, quick backcourt. They're kind of small, Stringer and Hickey, but they're very quick and they're physical for their size. And then they've got some guys that can bang on the inside. They lost pretty big to Ole Miss, I think, in their last game.
Yes.
But prior to that, they had a four-game winning streak, and they've beat a lot of good teams throughout the season. They beat Marquette, you know, early in the year. So they're a very good team. My guess is they're going to come out and play really hard. They're right in the thick of it at 7-7 in the conference. I think we can win both games, but I think we're going to have to play. We're going to have to be at the top of our game both in both to win them. We're not going to be able to slip up, and we're not going to be able to turn the ball over. That's the one thing that this team has not gotten better at. They still turn the ball over. And South Carolina, it was terrible. I mean, we had 21 turnovers, and we've got to do a better job handling the ball. If we go down to LSU and turn it over 15, 16 times, we won't win. We got to be down, you know, down around 10, I believe, because LSU's a much better team than South Carolina. But if we don't turn it over, I think we can beat both of them.
There's absolutely no doubt about it, and that'll be fun to watch on Wednesday, and you'll have the call. And hey, thanks for your time as always, and really appreciate the great job you do on the Vol Network, and you make it a better place to live here, man. So
all right, thank
that
you,
as
Tony.
Well.
You do too. I appreciate being on. Take care.
Bert Bertelkamp, one more time, Vol Network. I thank him.